Tell the people what you're here for.
Bring everything out closer to the people.
We got to stop it, brother. Let's get together and unify.
Trouble.
Radio Basics.
And there's always a message involved.
Radio Basics again here on CHOY 105.5 on Monday night, 8 to 9 p.m. Every Monday night, 8 to 9 p.m. It's election night here in Toronto. We got news headlines for you, some discussion on the elections, and a couple feature interviews. We're going to be speaking with the end of our show in the arts and culture section. We're going to be talking to La Bomba, a Chilean-born but T-Dot-raised musician, artist, and youth worker. She'll be talking to us about the Latin Afro South Asian Music and Cultural Festival, which started this past weekend at Lula Lounge, and is going to continue for the next couple Fridays at the Train and the Gladstone. Also like to welcome in the studio with us tonight new Radio Basics hosts in training, Kirti and Nadine. What's up, y'all?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Good. So Kirti's also got a feature-length interview with us today. What you got for us today, Kirti?
I'll be interviewing Marco Luciano from Migrante Ontario on the International Assembly of Migrants and Refugees.
All right, that's going to be our feature-length interview for today, just after the commercial. For now, we're going to hit up at the headlines, and we'll be back with that interview after our break. In local news, today is election day, and the polls have just closed, 8 p.m. In the coming hours, Toronto will know who our next mayor is, and as well as the face of new city council. Don't know how y'all voted today. Don't know who you put your faith behind, whether it be the mayor or at the council level or the trustee. I, for one, I'll just say I boycotted the elections. And I boycotted not because I'm apolitical or I don't care, but because I really didn't see a difference substantially, fundamentally between any of the candidates, mayoral candidates, who were selected for us to elect. You know, really the race came down to two people, which were, you know, brought to our attention and puffed up and really debated and discussed over and over again by the media, with a third somewhat behind them, which I don't believe is fundamentally who represents anything fundamentally different, but who the media was telling us we couldn't vote for because it would be unstrategic, and that, you know, we should either vote for Smitherman against Ford, or if you listen to other talk radio on the AM dial, maybe Rob Ford. What I was really taken aback by is that how, even though the degree to which this election was made about city spending at City Hall, and with Smitherman and Ford on the one side supporting cutting spending, and almost like certainly they are going to privatize or monetize, as the language they use at City Hall is, major assets owned by the city, such as Toronto Hydro Corporation, Toronto Parking Authority, and NWAVE. You know, to the extent that this election was about city spending, I was, in fact, actually not surprised that none of the major candidates brought the issue of the spending on policing to the front and center of the campaign, in a city where policing, spending on policing is approaching $1 billion a year. The fact that none of these candidates brought this up as a problem that is deepening and engendering a social crisis in our society left me with the decision that I would not vote for any of them. Not sure how you voted, But in any case, we can only hope things get better. Well, we can't only hope that things get better. We will hope that things get better, but they're most likely to get worse. Moving on in the show, also in local news. Another young man shot dead by Toronto police this past weekend. On this Saturday, October 23rd, a 28-year-old man was shot dead by police at his residence at 200 Dufferin Street in Parkdale, Toronto. News reports are indicating that the man stabbed one police officer in the face before the shooting. Now, if you know anything about some of the more high-profile police killings in the past 5 years in this city, you will know that in each of these cases, police accounts of being attacked or acting out of self-defense were, for the most part, fabricated. So, for example, the two undercover, unidentified Toronto police officers who killed 17-year-old Filipino youth Jeffrey Riotica in 2004 claimed, one of the officers claimed that he was stabbed in the leg before he shot Jeffrey Riotica. Coroner's courts later revealed that that was not true. There was a case of Byron DeBassage, who was shot near, shot in a park near Davisville and Yonge for stealing two lemons from a corner store. There was the case of Aloui El Nadir, an 18-year-old young Arab-Canadian who was shot in Riverdale Park, which at the time the media claimed that he was armed, even though it was later proven in the coroner's courts that he wasn't. And more recently, there was the police murder of Junior Alexander Menon on May 5th, 2010, here on York University campus, where the media blatantly lied about Junior Menon dying of a heart attack after running from the police. Highly distorted truth of what actually happened, where multiple witnesses indicated that Junior Menon was in fact beat by multiple police officers, as many as 5 to 7, and then died within really minutes of the beating. So since Junior Menon, many more young men have in fact died at the hands of Toronto police in Toronto. 25-year-old Riel Jensen Jardine Douglas, who was shot near Victoria Park in Biscayne Avenue on Sunday, August 29th. There was Eric Osawe, 26, who was shot dead by police a month later on September 29th, also in Parkdale. He was killed after police raided his home and shot him. So given these recent string of seemingly unjustifiable killings by Toronto police, and given how many times police fabricate, exaggerate, or completely distort the stories about their victims before they're shot, or how the media have done as much for them, we should be more than suspicious about police claims of being assaulted before killing this young man this past Saturday night. So people, keep your ear to the ground, and if you have any information about this man and the circumstances of his death, you know Basics is here willing to serve the people and bring out the truth. Email us at basics.canada@gmail.com if you know anything else about the circumstances of this young man's death. Also in local news, Basics Community News Service is formed. So, you know, usually we don't report on ourselves, slightly immodest maybe, but I think after 5 years of work as Basics, we deserve to, you know, celebrate our important formation this past weekend. After 5 years as Basics, first with Basics Free Community Newsletter, later with Radio Basics, and then basicsnews.ca, after 5 years of work in people's media, in different working class communities in Toronto, Basics Community News Service has been formed. On October 23rd, our organization held its first annual general meeting to ratify a constitution and elect an executive committee to lead our organization for the next year. As part of its work for the next year, in addition to continuing with our radio work, basicsnews.ca, and our in-print newsletter, the AGM affirmed its commitment to get its School of People's Journalism project off the ground to begin training grassroots people's journalists en masse in the working class communities where Basics operates. You can check out our website for more details at basicsnews.ca. In provincial news, we're open for business, Ontario legislator tells polluting industries. On Thursday, October 22nd, the Ontario legislator passed the Open for Business Act 2010. The new law takes away the public's right to know when companies are granted exemptions to environmental laws. Until now, Ontario's Environmental Bill of Rights allowed the public to review any requests and approval for exemption from Ontario's environmental laws. For more on this issue, check out themediacoop.ca for the story that was written by Tim Groves. In federal news, the Canadian government has agreed to Omar Khadr's plea deal that allows him to return to Canada to serve the rest of his sentence after spending a maximum of 1 year in prison in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, so his lawyer says. The Toronto-born Omar Khadr pleaded guilty this Monday to 5 charges against him, including murder and supporting terrorism in Afghanistan. Khadr's Canadian lawyer, Dennis Edney, said Khadr will serve no more than 8 years in prison as part of the plea deal and then be subject to the parole board conditions upon his release. Edney, in a phone interview with the CBC from Guantanamo Bay today, called the plea deal a piece of paper and said his client, quote, would have confessed to anything, including the killing of John F. Kennedy, just to get out of this hellhole. In his interview with the CBC, Edney said that, quote, had Omar refused, then he was faced with an unfair trial based on evidence that would be inadmissible in any real court and the potential of life in prison in Guantanamo Bay. The Khadr case provides yet another example of convicted terrorist who pleaded guilty simply to escape years more of secret evidence, unfair trials, and legal limbo. The guilty pleas of the Toronto 18 suspects, for example, the ringleader of whom was on the payroll of Canada's secret police, CSIS, could be viewed in the same light. In international news, mass resistance in France grows in opposition to Nicolas Sarkozy's attack on the pension system. Well over 3 million people have taken part in the demonstrations so far to challenge Sarkozy's attack on the French pension system. The Sarkozy government is looking to raise the minimum age for retirement from 60 to 62 and the age when retirees can get full benefits from 65 to 67. A recent poll in France indicated that 71% of the French population is supportive of the strikes, despite the crippling effect they have been having on the country. The massive unrest in the country is only a small segment of the massive popular upsurge in Europe over the last 6 months. Sarkozy's reforms are part of the so-called austerity measures G20 leaders warned of at the G20 summit held in Toronto back in June of 2010. The growing revolt amongst the French population demonstrates that widespread resistance is possible and is in the process to such austerity reforms. The proposed reforms have touched off resistance, mobilizations, and widespread strike actions right across France in many sectors of the economy, including amongst teachers, nurses, public transit workers, railway workers, dock workers, oil refinery workers, and of course youth and students, who are now being attacked and criminalized by the police as lawbreakers. 2 more nationwide strike days have been called for the end of October and early November. This is Radio Basics for CHOY 105.5. We're going to go to a break with our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Your community radio, CHOY 105.5.
The time when people can come in our community and get us to vote for them so that they can be our political leaders and tell us what to do and what not to do is long gone.
Seems like ever since Obama got in office, hell went back to normal.
So let your people be.
Oh, goddamn. Got comfortable, huh?
Everybody want the same thing, don't they? Everybody want to happy
end.
Everybody say we need a new president, but we all know that won't change a thing. Nobody wanna work for a living. Everybody want their children warm. Everybody want their family protected. Food, clothes, and shelter for the storm. I wake up in the morning, my mind focused on freedom. My name is Obala, that's for the love of the people. Don't wanna be deceived by the pyramid and the eagle. If you ain't got no dinero, America don't see you. But that's all some game, they all some lame. All over the terrain is hurricane and flames. Up in the gun range to improve my aim and then use my brain and continue to train. And if you live like you know what it is, then you're gonna be living for the struggle and loving one another. Love like the kings and queens we are. Sick of these crooked police, sick of these politicians, sick of these schools and the churches, sick of they whole system. Instead of education, they building new prisons. This generation fed up, seeking a new vision. Waiting on health care, you dying on a stretcher. They take away the welfare, no food, clothes, and shelter. Got these teens in wheelchairs, military veterans, but the people waking up to resist this oppression.
People be heard before it gets any worse. It's about what it's worth. It's for our family.
For our family.
People be heard. same thing, don't they? Everybody wants a happy end. Everybody say we need a new president, but we all know that won't change a thing. Nobody wanna work for a living. Everybody wants their children warm. Everybody wants their family protected. Food, clothes, and shelter from the storm.
Dead Prez featuring Estelle, Let the People Be Heard. That song was going out to all of those people in Toronto, the 60% who couldn't be bothered to vote for the candidates who did not inspire them. Dead Prez, by the way, will be in town this coming Thursday, man. That show's going to be dope. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be at the Great Hall. Look that up online if you want tickets. It's not too often that both M1 and Stickman and Dead Prez are in town, so check that out.
Okay, yeah, I can't wait to see that for sure. So I'm going to be interviewing Marco Luciano from Migrante Ontario. Marco, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Awesome. So Marco will be talking about the 4th Global Forum on Migration and Development, organized by the United Nations. This forum is being opposed by many across the globe due to the neoliberal approach it is taking, and this includes the 3rd International Assembly of Migrants and Refugees, which is organized by the International Migrants Alliance between November 6th and 8th. So, Marco, welcome.
Thank you, Christy.
And my first question to you is, what is Migrante Ontario, and how do you relate to International Migrants Alliance?
Well, Migrante Ontario is an alliance of Filipino migrant organizations here in Ontario. That includes organizations here in Toronto, in Barrie, up north, and also in Ottawa. But this upcoming November 20 and 21st, we will have be having our first Canada-wide congress establishing Migrante Canada. So it won't be Migrante Ontario anymore, but actually after a year of working from the ground in different provinces for a year and a half, we're ready to put up a national alliance, which is Migrante Canada.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
So how do you relate to the International Migrants Alliance?
Migrante Ontario and other groups in Canada are affiliated with International Migrants Alliance that was founded in 2008. And this is really an attempt to broaden our reach in terms of getting our voices heard, whether that's issues that each migrant face here in Canada and abroad. There are currently 8 million Filipinos outside the Philippines in 198 countries. And we need to reach out more to other migrant organizations around the world. And International Migrants Alliance is a formation where it becomes a space where migrant organizations with different ethnic origins gather and voice their concerns. But also, on the other hand, it is a space where we don't just voice out issues, but also really unite on analysis of migration. A common analysis of migration history and the viewpoint of migration.
So, what exactly is that analysis of migration? How does it differ from the general forum, the forum on global forum on migration and development being held by the UN?
Well, the general forum on migration and development stems out of the collapse of the GATS Mode 4, which is an element of WTO. Whereas they start to really look into the movement of people, whether that's servicing, whether that's trade of people, integrated to a bigger global economic context. Now, after that collapse, they quickly reorganized themselves and created this global forum on migration and development, whereas they started to look at migration as an aid to development of third world countries. For example, the OECD or the Overseas Economic Cooperation, an institution of governments, whereas they look at development aid in a form of recruitment of migrants, because migrants, they say, are a source of billions and billions of dollars of remittances. So this is how GFMD, or the Global Forum of Migration, look at migration, and they are focused on quote-unquote managing migration, right? And what we're saying is that, no, you have to look at development should be created internally by government, and these developments, these countries do not develop because there are multinational corporations who are plundering these third world countries, therefore pushing migrants outside their national boundaries, forced to work abroad. So therefore, we really see that that we need to look at the root causes of migration, which is linked to poverty and lack of development of these countries of the South, such as the Philippines.
Okay. So how is the Global Forum on Migration and Development promoting the interests of business over migrants?
Well, it is generally, how should I say that, promoting, opening up, it's the way to open up boundaries, borders, for businesses and multinational corporations to just go in and out of in and out of countries, right? Particularly multinational corporations of the north going into multinational to the countries of the south to mm-hmm. to establish their semi processing plants, right? Mm-hmm. And therefore, without really looking into the economy of that, you know, of that third world countries, and just really using cheap labor, right? While the governments of these countries of the south really facilitates those movement of businesses, right?
Yeah. So
and this movement of businesses causes displacement. Not only it causes displacement, not only for people to go abroad, but also internally. These establishments are usually created. These multinational factories are usually created in fertile farmlands, where displaced a lot of farmers.
Mm-hmm.
So the
GFMD is promoting, you know, an open borders when it comes to the movement of capital, and when it comes to the movement of labor, capital wants to be able to restrict that movement to their benefit, despite the situations that are unfolding in countries where there's vast humanitarian crises, civil wars, state terrorism, and so on and so forth.
That's right, and I think. Particularly in Canada, I mean, with the Harper government and its running dog Jason Kenney, really restricts restrict the movement of migrants, and they pick and choose what kind of migrant is sort of Canada needs, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Despite the fact that Canada is one of the plunderers of the earth. There are so many mining companies in the Philippines that displace lots of farmers, lots of indigenous people. Where would they go? Mm-hmm. If we don't have industrialized cities in the Philippines that can absorb displaced people, where would they go? They can't go anywhere except abroad or anywhere where they can find work and decent jobs.
So you're explaining the crisis of underdevelopment, maldevelopment in the third world in relation to the movement of people and so-called development in the dominant countries, the oppressing countries. So I know you're an organizer in the Filipino community here in Canada. Canada is a country that receives many Filipino migrants, particularly in relation to the Living Caregiver Program, where, if I'm not mistaken, there are how many thousands of living caregivers from the Philippines?
Well, in 2009, they opened up their borders for nannies for about 13,000 caregivers.
In 2009 alone?
In 2009 alone. So if you can imagine, I don't have the statistics with me, but yeah. If you can imagine that number in 1 year.
Wow.
And this is the year where, they needed caregivers to middle class homes.
Yeah, so you have tens of thousands of them, living caregivers from the Philippines, many of these women educated, coming from the Philippines to Canada to look after children or the elderly or infirmed in people's homes, while the Philippines is in a very difficult situation. Can you explain the relationship between a country like Canada or countries like Canada and the domestic situation in the Philippines, where I understand there has been very repressive governments, thousands of assassinations of community organizers and activists, in some cases martial law. What's the relationship between what's happening in Canada, what's happening in the Philippines?
In particular to migrants and migration, I think it's very much related and very much working hand in hand, particularly in the buying and selling of people, right, of Filipinos. In the Philippines, it's not hidden that it's a very poor country. And the government solution to poverty in the Philippines, rather than addressing the root causes of that poverty, is that one to open up the borders and just send people home, send people abroad, because one it sort of reduces unemployment. Two, they receive a whole it becomes a business. They not only receive billions of dollars in remittances, but also it becomes before you leave the Philippines, people pay so much amount of fees. So it becomes a business for them, a money making. Mm-hmm. And third, it's anti-revolution, right? If people are satisfied in leaving the country because there's work, there's less people that will rebel.
Yeah.
So it is really a counterinsurgency way of handling insurgents in the Philippines. And of course, Canada as a country dependent on cheap labor in order for it to survive. Philippines is one of its sources. In the late 80s, it was the caregivers who sort of fill up the gaps.
Yeah.
When unionized daycare workers starting to fight back and ask for subsidies, instead of giving it to them, they open up the borders.
Uh-huh.
and recruited these nannies. And nannies not only take care of children and the elderly and the disabled, they also cook, clean, drive, and do all house chores, right? So
yeah.
For a middle class working family who does not have enough money to pay privatized daycare, it's cheaper for them to hire a nanny.
Yeah,
right? So it is really the relationship is clear, right?
Yeah, and for any of those Canadians who may kind of have that cynical outlook that like, well, their oppression is our benefit, I think we should just keep in mind that the domestic slavery of these women has kept a long promised national daycare program from actually being created, because it's taken the pressure off of the people who require daycare, because now the upper middle class who maybe can afford to have a nanny or two are no longer going to support that program, because they're able to take care of it themselves.
That's right, and it is the benefit also of the Canadian government to quash the unions and to quash the working people by keeping quote unquote this middle class happy, right?
Okay, so Marco, why did the International Migrants Alliance start organizing an alternative migrants forum?
I think it is really the vision and the view that we cannot give a solution to the migrants' problem, quote unquote, by organizing individually. Each community groups would organize, and it is the vision that we have the same problem as any other migrant groups and migrant organizations.
Okay.
Sorry
to cut you off. So who's involved in it so far?
International Migrant Alliance have about 100 members from different countries, such as the Asia Pacific, a lot of countries in the Asia Pacific, like Hong Kong, Indonesia, Malaysia, Philippines, Korea, are members of the International Migrants Alliance, as well as organizations in Africa, Africa and Europe and the Middle East. There are few, and we're working hard to recruiting more members in North America and Latin America, which is in Mexico, for example. It is very critical for us. This conference is very critical for us because this is happening in Mexico.
Why is it important? Why is Mexico such a strategic, venue for this forum?
Mexico is the largest migrant supplying country in the world. And it is the second largest remittance recipient country in the world. And Mexico is really an important piece in this whole migrant struggle for us because of this situation. For hundreds of years, Mexico has been a source of migrants for the United States in particular, but also even Canada, right? So it's really and Mexico has been not only a source of migrants but also a transitionary country for Latin American migrants coming from this, South America, and Guatemala, and so on. When we found out that the GFMD will happen in Puerto Vallarta, it is really automatic that we have to be there. We have to start organizing and mobilizing. The Mexicans, primarily, to be part of the IAMR, or the International Assembly of Migrants and Refugees, which is the alternative conference.
And when is that taking place again?
It is taking place on the 6th
of November.
6th of November, okay. Until the 8th of November, but also that will be in Mexico City, but also we will have a caravan from the 9th. Until the next day, which is the 10th. The 10th is the start of the government-sponsored, the UN-sponsored GFMD. So, and we're hoping to have a caravan from Mexico City to Puerto Vallarta, which is a 12-hour bus ride.
Okay. That sounds really interesting. So what is this year's theme, and what do you hope to accomplish through this assembly, I guess?
It skips my mind at the moment, but it is we're hoping to achieve. Well, one is to have a public voice that IAMR, or the International Assembly of Migrants and Refugees, is happening, and there is a movement of migrants that is leading this. Also, there will be as part of that conference, there will be a people's tribunal. Which will highlight the 72 murdered migrants, Mexican migrants. I think it was 3 months ago or 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So there will be a people's tribunal that will highlight that. We believe that despite the fact that the Mexican government is saying that it is the drug cartels are doing that, it's not, it has nothing to do with the government. It is exactly a government or state-sponsored paramilitary who's been doing who did the killings.
Yeah, actually, there was a report on Al Jazeera last week by a Canadian journalist. I forget his name, but it was actually showing that the head of this drug cartel, or some of the leading elements of the drug cartel, were actually trained by the U.S. military at Fort Bragg, which is a military base in the United States.
I wouldn't doubt that. I think it's important for people to hear that. And what's really exciting about that piece is that the relatives and the mothers of those who were killed will be with us in the caravan.
Really?
They will take us to Puerto Vallarta.
Well, that's great, Marco.
Yeah, and actually we will be, in their face.
Well, Marco Luciano, thank you very much for being on the line with us tonight. And will you be in Mexico yourself?
Yes, I will. I'll be leaving on the 4th.
Well, good luck to you, brother. Be safe. And give our salute to all the brothers and sisters in Mexico who are struggling.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, right. Marco.
Have a good night.
Bye. Night.
Radio Basics here on CHOY 105.5. Let's go to a track. This is Nula by Nomadic Massive, Montreal-based hip-hop group. We'll be back.
Suspens, mes précieux mots d'argent, je les aurais vite troqués pour un silence doré à force de me taire et d'observer. Mais tu n'es pas enfin, et jamais on ne s'en plaint. On teste les limites comme la laisse autour du cou d'un chien. Le plus beau dans tout ça, j'ai fait comme la fascine à travers morale de cette histoire. Je suis là, je regrette nada.
Ok, ça mais c'est le nom des papis. Happy to be here once again. We assemble the band and blend ingredients. En vini, yo soy dos de mete. Quiero hacerte la faceta más potente del hip hop. Nuestra oferta, ha. KRS, if they arrest the development of the style is dangerous. I mentioned this in full clarity, bringing an option. No auction of the soul, way too precious a concoction.
Nula, was it for PT Menula? Nula, was it for PT Menula? Nula, was it for PT Menula? Nula, no paras, la papa, la pizarro. Nula, was it for PT Menula? Nula, was it for PT Menula? Nula, was it for PT Menula? Nula, no paras, la papa, la pizarro. Skeleton, broken style, he boogie dancing like paper set. Ruler of the ruler, not mighty at the nature. Proof could be valid when you focus on your center. Enter, holy, holy, hungry for them fortune cookie. Doing the whole hoop to study lies my real duty. Embrace present day work like a beaver. Time waits for no man, I am to be a true fan. Reality, positive vibe, cap no allergy. Apology, energy, polishes things for my war days. I'm gorgeous, my old days is endless. Next to the next, my thoughts flex like mad. Forward. This world's full of trickery, with fear to get victory. And it's just stop from the sweatshop, from being a crowd. Up the girding is up, come on. Up.
Daytime, we make moves, and we suspect the adults. Evil things when it's rhymes, we bring not an extraordinary thing. And hey, we're talking to you about them. These ego, true. Right through, but at cuisine 8 days a week, yo, you bound to get skinny. Feet on his feet, catch and release, he's taking you to 9 and 8.
Nous t'es déjà là, n'a toujours été là. Maman y'a petit mal avant, prenne un 3 mois. Moi des gros t'aimes sorti avant les trop tard. L'intégro, vaisseau, pouvais-je au grand. M'barrête mon tsunami, m'pas mal en opinion. Mais n'en grand, il t'aime pas cette bouquillon. Moi c'est yon qui n'est qu'à monter mon avion. Pour m'y faire l'esprit, moi monter mon avion.
Nous là, que j'ai trop pitié, mais nous là. Nous là, que j'ai trop pitié, mais nous là. Nous là, que j'ai trop pitié, mais nous là. Nous là, nous là, que j'ai trop pitié, mais nous là. Nous là, que j'ai trop pitié, mais nous là.
Listening to CHRY 105.5 FM, broadcasting at 158 watts at 105.5 FM on the World Wide Web at chry.fm and on the Rogers Digital Network, channel 945.
وين خيو وين تكورا وين وين عليك لنون وين وين ماتيا كادريليو ماليتش ويو فيتون يقول أمين تموكو واريا ميو
Nuevas fuerzas se han unido ya con más inteligencia, con más fundamento y con más experiencia. Nueva gente de lucha, nueva gente de razón, nueva gente que al opresor no hará pedir perdón. El poeta a la poesía, el MC que actúa a la rebeldía. Verdadero hip hop de combate y no de fantasía. Bueno, en la lucha continúa y con cuidado que cada vez veremos más actores actuando con hipocresía. Hip hop mapuche, nace la novena en vivencia, en apoyo, en aliento a nuestras tierras. Y pueblo mapuche sigue al frente con audacia y estrategia. El man, sigilosos con mi gente, no nos callarán, no nos vencerán. Y cuando avancemos con más fuerza, sí nos temerán. Esto es de verdad, esto es rap autonomista, mostrando realidad, allanamiento en la comunidad. Sí, fuerzas especiales, resguardando intereses de los puncas extranjeros a media novedad. Esto ya no da pa' más, esto aquí, un atajo, se le dará. Esto es mama aquí, un atajo, ya le dará, sí. Apoyando el movimiento mapuche siempre mi nación, lleno mapuche en la bomba con nuevo chaco le gran unión. Apoyando el movimiento mapuche siempre mi nación, lleno mapuche en la bomba con nuevo chaco le gran unión. Apoyando el movimiento mapuche siempre mi nación, lleno mapuche en la bomba con nuevo chaco le gran unión. Apoyando el movimiento mapuche siempre mi nación, lleno mapuche en la bomba con nuevo chaco le gran unión.
Hoy presento mi concepto a quien lo quiera escuchar. Hanoi Chafe nació mapuche y hop que va a dialogar. Rimando, practicando la palabra y la acción. Bueno, un mapo fabial, la bomba, Hanoi Chafe, la gran unión. Somos comandos, combatientes de la lírica consciente. Presentando en el canto a nuestro humilde gente. Traigo nuevo ritmo combativo, muy subversivo, alimentado por los latinos. De oprimido del rebelde huechafe sureño que defiende su mapu, donde ha nacido. Siempre vivido, cinco siglos resistido. Defiendo las ideas de la gente sometida. Crean instancias nuevas, conciencias subversivas. Defiendo las ideas de la gente sometida. Crean instancias nuevas, conciencias subversivas.
Apoyando el movimiento mapuche siempre mi nación. Lleno mapuche en la bomba con nuevo chaco le gran unión. Apoyando el movimiento mapuche siempre mi nación. Lleno mapuche en la bomba con nuevo chaco le gran unión. Apoyando el movimiento mapuche siempre mi nación. Lleno mapuche en la bomba con nuevo chaco le gran unión. Apoyando el movimiento mapuche siempre mi nación. Lleno mapuche en la bomba con nuevo chaco le gran unión.
See my people fighting because these devils continue with the night. As I grab the microphone, feel my teeth in my rage. I was told by the elders that things are going to change. 2012, but my people stand again. All the nations up in arms because we will defend. Occupied land is what you're standing on. If you can't recognize, then you're too far gone. Stuck in that system, you're a slave to the devil. But I fight for freedom. You can say that I'm a rebel. Truth is the truth, and that lie is a lie. You can't step to this, so you can't even try.
Apoyando el movimiento mapuche siempre mi nación, lleno mapuche en la bomba con nuevo chaco le gran unión. Apoyando el movimiento mapuche siempre mi nación, lleno mapuche en la bomba con nuevo chaco le gran unión. Apoyando el movimiento mapuche siempre mi nación, lleno mapuche en la bomba con nuevo chaco le gran unión.
That is La Bomba, Chilean born but T-Dot raised Canadian hip hop artist, visual artist, graph artist, youth worker, many other things here in Toronto with the Mapuche Hip Hop Collective, Colectivo, Wenewen. And if you know anything about Chilean politics, history of colonialism in Latin America, you will know that to be a Mapuche in Latin America, in Chile, is to be political. I have La Bomba on the line with us tonight. She's going to be talking to us about the Latin Afro South Asian Festival. What's up, sister? How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing great over here. Just, like, really proud to hear that track, actually. Wow, bomb, bomb. What up, T-Dot? What up, T-Dot?
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about that track. What's up?
Okay, that track was wicked. Actually, the actual track itself, the beat, was actually produced in Queens, New York by Sibylla. And Sibylla's done a lot of work, with a lot of Latin American artists, such as Reyes del Bajo el Mundo.
Okay.
He's worked with Lopez Victoria, like different artists, right? And what I did is I took the beat down to Temuco. I had connected with Colectivo 101 initially via email, but we ended up actually hooking up in Temuco, Chile, in 2009. Mm-hmm. So what I did is that we recorded the vocals down there. We actually shot a video too, so there is a video available on Facebook and on YouTube under Amazonica 2012, and you can see the video. But what it is Colectivo 101 is a collective of young Mapuche poets and MCs, totaling 12, all together. They've been very active in various aspects of the Mapuche people struggle in the southern parts of Chile. And what really stands out for them, because there are other Mapuche hip-hop groups that are activists, but they're based out of the capital in Santiago. But these guys are predominantly from Mapuche land, so most of them are not even within urban communities. They're within rural communities, right? So it's really interesting that these guys actually want to do hip-hop, but they see it as a viable kind of form of expression, right? The Mapuche heavily rely on sort of like oral tradition and relaying information and such. So for them, it was just like a very natural step to go into the rhyming sequence. Yeah. So
that's taking hip hop back to its roots, man. Weapon of the people, you know, weapon of the masses.
Oh, straight up. And, you know, like the youngest member of the collective is 12 years old when he joined. You know what I mean? So these guys are like serious. They're really, you know, they're not doing this for industry-based anything. They're not doing it to push units. They're really just using it as an educational tool for the youth. So they feel that, you know, mixing their tradition, but also with a rural, like an urban thing, which is hip hop, right? They're doing what they have to do. So for me, it was an honor to be able to go down there. So we recorded it in Chile, in Temuco on site. We actually had to smuggle this stuff up because it was around the time when there was another hunger strike that was happening with the Mapuche brothers and sisters in close to Temuco.
Yes.
So it was really laden with like a lot of police and military in the area. So it was a little bit creepy, you know, to get the stuff done. It was really kind of clandestine.
This is real. This is part of the struggle.
Straight up. And DJ Seek here in Toronto, like, helped to do all the post-production and stuff at his studio. So big up to DJ Seek, also from Chile, you know what I mean? But he's living here. So, yeah, it was hype. It was an experience, man. And just really in the track we're talking.
Yeah, for the sake of our listeners, before we get into the Latin Afro South Asian Festival, really quick, for those who don't know what Mapuche is, and especially as Canadians being on stolen land, give us in a paragraph, what's Mapuche all about?
Mapuche is Chile's First Nations, right? Actually, not just Chile, but Argentina. And the Mapuche really, in their language, which is Mapudungun, what Mapuche means, Mapu is earth, and Che means brother. That's where Che got his name, right? Because, you know, Argentina was actually Mapuche territory as well before it's Chile. And that whole area down there is known as Hualmapu. Not Argentina, not Chile, but Hualmapu. But yeah, so Hualmapu initially was attacked by the Inca Empire. The Incas actually tried to move to the south and take over that. But the Mapuche were known as being fierce, fierce warriors who refused to let anybody step on sacred land. They are the protectors of the forests, of the rivers, of the mountains. Mm-hmm. And that's their God-given mandate as far as they're concerned, right? So when the Spanish came, it was actually very interesting. They were one of the only First Nations in all of the Americas that was not ever defeated in combat.
Really?
There's one city that's very famous in Chile called Nueva Imperial, which means New Imperial, and which was the Spanish built it nine times, and nine times it was destroyed by the Mapuche. So eventually the Spanish had to kind of deal with it. And the Mapuche actually had a coherent sort of economic trade with the Spanish for 200 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the bicentennial thing that happened recently, September 18th, was such a treacherous sort of holiday for them, because it was like the acknowledgement that the actual Chilean people betrayed the Mapuche. So it wasn't necessarily all the Spanish came and they took over. The Mapuche and the Spanish had been trading and were respecting each other's sovereign nations for well over 200 years.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting that many Chilean people in the community out here are actually celebrating that, when really there's a lot of shame attached to that. Holiday.
And the Mapuche people, despite being a large section of the Chilean population, a lot of Chileans actually having lineage to Mapuche people, continue to be repressed as a nation, have no self-determination, right?
Well, they have their own councils and their own guidance, absolutely, but it's the Chilean government actually continually refuses to acknowledge them and admit them within the parliaments and the parliamentary structure that does exist in Chile.
Yeah, yeah.
Chile is the only nation in all of Latin America that does not acknowledge its Aboriginal population, believe it or not, and that's quite a shame for a sort of a NAFTA crown-bearing kind of, like, you know, nation and so advanced and that kind of thing. Like, it's really backwards in that sense in human rights. And I'd like to also add that divorce was not legal in Chile until 2004. So please don't be fooled by mainstream media. Do investigate into that. Mapuche have an incredible history. And on top of everything else, they were matriarchy. So their whole council was based around the women's councils.
Mm-hmm.
That's switched up a little bit over the centuries, actually, you know, impacted by, you know, industrialism and that kind of thing. But that's their inherent thing. And their inherent thing is to protect the land.
We are in Toronto, and you know, this is a highly multinational city. People from every part of the world represented here. and you're part of a festival that's bringing people together from all corners of the earth to celebrate our struggle, to celebrate our expression. The Latin Afro South Asian Festival started this Friday at the Lula Lounge, and we got two more Fridays to come. The Train, October 30th, the Gladstone, November 5th. Tell us all about that.
Okay, well, that festival is actually all these communities coming together and deciding to collaborate and just seeing where we actually meet and where we're kind of different in terms of ours, but really collaborating together to put this arts funding that's not, it's not corporate-based, you know, and it's really working within the stretches of Canadian sort of sovereignty of an understanding of multiculturalism, which sounds like a lot of political kind of corny words, but at the end of the day, we're really actually doing it, man. And you can actually see that through the artists and the quality of artists that are coming out. Yeah. Basically, so it's Kenora and the LCCA, which is the Latino Canadian Cultural Association. Mm-hmm. And in this instance right now, we're working with Rosina Kati, who's
from Lao,
bomb, bomb. Big up to Rose. What? If she's listening to this, right? But, you know, so all, because she's very well in touch with what's happening within the community in terms of who's out there in the clubs and that kind of thing. So we wanted to do this thing, you know, by nature, the fact that we're there, it's already political. Like, we don't really even, like, you know what I mean? At this point, the fact that we are coming together, that these, you know, three communities are actually working coherently. Each night you're going to see acts from three different communities. But it's a very seamless show. The show at Lula that we had recently on Friday was a success. It was like we played to a full house. You know, it just seamlessly went from act to act, and it was just beautiful, man, to be able to see some flamenco, which is Santeria's doing it, to Jaco Baco, which are like, you know, some serious, like, African music with, like, all the crazy polyrhythms on the guitars, to like, you know, the tabla guy, which is Gurpreet. He's had his man with you know, electronic devices, and then he's hitting the bhangra.
That's beautiful.
And then we had, yeah, and then we had a dance crew that was out there, you know, Mind the Gap. They're, like, very fully doing, like, modern contemporary with, like, a drummer. And a clarinet. So it's just like a variety of things like that, but very seamless and very much, you know, reflective of Toronto urban culture, man, which a lot of people, I mean, get so jaded here, because you're right. We have so many people from all over the world here. It's just easy to go, oh, yeah, well, I know this, but whatever, to just come out and see it together without the pretense of, like, you know, corporate funding, with any of that. It's just straight up, like, just for the love of art and just coming and, like, that you see the demonstrated passion from these artists for the love of the art, you know what I mean? Definitely it helps that we're getting funding and we're being valued for our work, you know? The artists are usually the first people to, like, get cut off. Even
and
though
we hear that during this whole municipal elections, that was a big thing, that, you know, arts shouldn't be funded and we should cut the funding to the arts.
Okay, well, you know, that attitude is just like, you know, it's actually quite sick, because you do need a process of imagination. You do need a process of experimentation. Like, the spirit, the human spirit has to do that, man. And quite often it's the artist is left up to us to, like, delve into that realm, man, where we got to experiment with whatever discipline we have, whether it be photography, dance, music, film, whatever it is. I mean, it's on us to really experiment, push the boundaries, and make the audience, like, people that are kind of coming to see your product, like, feel something, like, be touched, you know, and whatever, and take them to a next place. Now, to be able to create that moment, man, really, you really need a lot of, like, process
resources
for that. You need
time,
a lot of energy and resources and time and whatever. And it's really necessary for our survival as human beings, man, to be able to imagine possibilities, man, to even have possibilities and not be, like, caught up in these situations. So often, you know, it's artists are the first to cut off, because that's not seen as a valid process, but it's actually a very exhausting
It's not seen as a valid process by the governments, the forces, the powers that be. So maybe
the powers that
part
be
of why your funding is getting
cut off,
is that you are doing a good job, maybe.
Well, basically, yeah, like, we're, you know, we're pushing the boundaries and new possibilities, right? And that's what we want to do with the people. So we're totally grateful to the Ontario Arts Council and the Toronto Arts Council for helping us make that happen, you know, and making that happen for people that will come out to the shows. Like, this Saturday, this is the only Saturday that we are doing for the festival at Train Studios on the 29th. Yeah. And, you know, we're going to have a gamut of, like, we have a flamenco dancer with a flamenco guitar player. We have poets and acoustic singers from Africa. We're going to have, like, a bit of bhangra and tabla music from India, you know, like, all in one place, you know what I mean? And that's phenomenal. Like, once you're there, like, you just fully transported. I myself have been playing clubs and bars and touring and all that stuff for many, many years, and I swear to God, on Friday, I'm there, and I'm the technical coordinator for the event, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sitting there watching. I was, like, fully transported, mesmerized, like, people were like, boom, by the levels. I'm like, oh my God. Okay, because it was just so beautiful, you know, just in this vibe. And it was just like, believe it or not, in a very subtle way, it was like hardcore political education for everybody. Because at one point, you got a question like, wow, I'm here. How did these guys get here? How did these guys get, what's their history? You know what I mean? So you're kind of
That's
forced
great.
To actually kind of get involved in that. But just by the mere fact that you're touched by their art, because it is, it's very, all the artists is phenomenal. Like, we try to take the creme de la creme of all these communities,
sure.
Right?
Yeah, I missed the show on Friday, but I'm looking forward to catching one of the two upcoming shows for sure, and checking you still.
Wicked.
Yo, and by the way, I said earlier in the show that Dead Prez is also here on Thursday, which is something I'm checking out as well. I don't know if you're going to be there.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be there. Yeah. I mean, I've performed with M1 and I have performed together at the Alamo a couple of years
that's
ago.
Right,
we brought him up to do some youth work up at Gina Woolner. You know,
I was at that show,
Oh, no way. Oh, wicked. Yeah.
So listen, it's 9 o'clock, La Bomba. We got to cut it off. But I was looking through my music collection that I have on me today. And by way of Chilean music, I don't have much. I have one song by Violeta Parra in my collection and a couple by Vitor Jara. Maybe you can choose one of these songs, introduce it for me, and we'll go out on Radio Basics for tonight. I have La Carta by Violeta Parra, and I have Te Recuerdo Amanda by Vito Jara. Can you choose one of these songs for us and introduce
it? I'm going to have to go with Violeta, because Violeta came from the people for the people. So did Vito.
Right.
And Vito had a tragic death, but I got to figure out, she's the first Chilena peasant woman to actually have an exhibit for 3 months at the Louvre in France, in Paris. You know, she just, so that's very significant, man, for the women to come out like out of Chile to do that. So I'm going to say that. I want to invite everybody to all our shows, but November 5th specifically, come on out. We're going to have Red Slam in the house. Lau will be in the house. I'm going to be performing with my full band. So we're also featuring artists such as Golden Child, Lopez Victoria, another MC from Chile, from Peru. We've got Desfase, who's also another MC who just arrived here from Chile. So it's going to be a live show, man. Like, I would just encourage everybody. And $5, you can't beat it, man.
$5? Are you for real?
Yeah.
All right,
not
I'm there.
Serious.
I'm there. I'm sold. Think times are tight, but you know, I could do $5. All right,
you
La Bomba, thanks
we
a lot. This
okay.
is Violeta, Violeta Parra, La Carta.
And it means the letter. The letter.
The letter. Thank you so much, eh?
Okay,
much
be
respect.
Good.
Much love.
All right, peace out.
Peace out. Radio Basics, this is all we got for your Monday night. That was La Bomba. And keep your eyes peeled. See who our next mayor is. Radio Basics will be back next week. Much love, Toronto.
En esa carta me dicen que cayó preso mi hermano. Y sin lástima con grillo por la calle lo arrastraron, sí. La carta dice el motivo que ha cometido Roberto. Haber apoyado el paro que ya se había resuelto. Si acaso esto es un motivo, presa también voy, sargento, sí. Yo que me encuentro tan lejos, esperando una noticia, me vine a decir en la carta que en mi patria no hay justicia. Los hambrientos piden pan, plomo le da la milicia, sí. Quieren conservar su asiento, los de abanico y de frac sin tener merecimiento. Van y vienen de la iglesia y olvidan los mandamientos, sí. Habráse visto insolencia, barbarie y alevosía, de presentar el trabajo. Matar a sangre fría a quien defensa no tiene con las dos manos vacías, sí. La carta que he recibido me pide contestación. Yo pido que se propale por toda la población que el lunes es un sanguinario en toda generación, sí. Por suerte tengo guitarra para llorar mi dolor. También tengo un hermano fuera del que se engrilló. Los 9 son comunistas con el favor de mi Dios.